Hello, friends, and welcome back to Like Anime, your source for all anime opinions, current, relevant, and, you know, some that aren't. My name's George, and joined with me is Tony.
Season two, bitches!
So much for keeping the cursing to a minimum, but we are back. It is, what is it? It's time for what?
What?
Summer. Summer is here.
And you said it's time for what, so I said what?
You're taking me very literally.
What?
Spring. We got a couple stragglers from spring. Two, to be exact, for this we'll be covering this week.
Yeah.
But those aside, this is a whole crop of new anime. Very exciting.
Bunch of new stuff. Yep.
Yeah. So many things to get excited about, to, you know, crap on, and then in general just be indifferent about.
Mostly that last one.
Yeah, a lot of indifference. I mean, it's hard watching one episode of something you know nothing about.
Yeah.
And then being like, oh, I have thoughts about this.
Yeah, that's true.
But we are going to do that very thing.
Luckily, we're sort of changing the format this season a little bit, where we're not going to talk ad nauseum about every single show. We're going to have some short takes, and, you know, that'll work really well for this week especially. And
yeah. We figured with the first episodes, actually the first few, you know, there's a golden rule with anime that, you know, the first three episodes are, you know, if you're going to give a fair shake, you gotta watch those. So we figured in spirit of that, we'll talk about the premise of these shows and kind of general stuff, thoughts we have, but we're not going to get, you're not going to spoil, you know, the episodes. So if it sounds something interesting to you, then check it out.
We won't except for maybe that. Maybe the first episode will sort of spoil the premise, yeah, because that's all you really get in the first episode. But
yeah, spoil the premise, yeah, but we won't spoil like how the episode ends or, you know, you don't go into great depth like we had been.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of new format, what's going on in the news, George?
Yes, we have a new news segment. New news.
New news.
Welcome to new news. We actually got kind of a backlog going because this is a new thing. And so
no GNUs is good GNUs with Gary GNU. Does anyone get that reference? Get at me in the comments. Go ahead, George.
Get in the comments. So yeah, we're starting this news thing, and so I've been keeping a log of interesting things to talk about, and we're going to kind of just go through it, see how much we get through in a short amount of time, keeping everything brief. First up, this is just kind of a heads up. Netflix is going to be streaming a new anime film called Words Bubble Up Like Soda.
Oh, yes.
Soda Pop, excuse me.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on Netflix July 22nd. The trailer's out. It looks gorgeous. It almost looks like I don't know who directed it. It looks like Mamoru Hosoda. I know it's not, but it has that quality of the animation, the character design and art style. It just looks real nice. And you saw that trailer, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It looks really good. I've been looking forward to it for quite a while, since I heard about it months ago. It must have been sort of around the beginning of spring season that I saw it was announced, and maybe they had a teaser or something. I don't remember. But yeah, it looks good. If you like films with anime, you'll probably like this, unless you hate the ones that are popular only because they're popular, because it will probably be popular.
And sometimes it's nice just to have a film. You know, you watch it, and then you're done. And then you don't have to, you know, commit to this whole run.
Yeah.
And wonder if you'll get more. I did find out it's directed by Kyohei Ishiguro, who did Your Lie in April.
Oh, okay.
And then it's written by Dai Sato, who I know, who wrote Eureka 7, great anime, Wolf's Rain, very beloved, Samurai Champloo, and also some Cowboy Bebop as well, part of their credits. So, yeah, it looks good. Well, July 22nd, not sure when our episode will come out, but we'll definitely be talking about it.
Yeah, July 22nd is, that's the Netflix date.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. That's kind of good. And then, after that, we have some news, for any Made in Abyss fans. There's actually two recent news stories, circling those or circling that show. One of which is we're getting, a Made in Abyss movie on June 28th. That's already out. It's on High Dive, and, which, probably need to subscribe to so we can check that out. But supposedly, this film is supposed to not be unrelated. It's supposed to continue the story from the series.
If it's already out, why don't we just forget about doing this podcast thing and watch it?
Just do that. Let's scrap all these all these notes on these first episodes we checked out.
That's all right. Most of my notes suck anyway.
So look forward to that. We're going to have to cover that. I didn't realize that was coming up so quick. But then also, Columbia Pictures has ordered a film script to be made of Made in Abyss. So they're supposedly making making a live-action movie, which is interesting. I also heard, similarly, with The Promised Neverland, that that's also being optioned for a Western film. So I don't know. That's interesting. You know, it's usually anime live action films don't do well. They're not good and they don't make money. So you know, they keep trying.
I'm like trying to imagine in my head how they would make that into a movie. I mean, all you would get through is all of the initial stuff before they even go into the hole. That's it. That's all you could do in a movie, like time-wise, I think. So
I mean, they'd have to.
It'd have to be like a whole series of movies, but they're not going to do that because they would have to be committing to making a whole bunch of movies. And anyway, it's going to suck. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, to your point, like they have to do something creative with it to tell an interesting story in a 2-hour runtime or whatever.
Right.
And probably not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, they just optioned the script, so it doesn't mean that it's even getting made, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, I mean, we're still waiting on an Akira movie from like 20 years ago. So so anyway, but it's still fun. It's still fun to talk about. It's like, oh, what anime are they trying to do with do that with now? And I guess, suppose, just to round us out for this short news segment, what else do we got? We got... there's a... My anime list is holding a web novel contest. And they... So I guess you can submit your story idea for... You have to submit the first chapter or something for this contest. And then if you get selected, there's an option for it to be turned into an anime and then also to be turned into a graphic novel and potentially be published as just a novel. And they got some backlash, though, because I guess when they initially posted the contest... And the rules, it stated that you're essentially signing away all the rights to that property by entering. And they got a bunch of backlash on Twitter and whatnot. And so they have since rescinded that. Like, the contest is still going, but they changed that part of the legal agreement.
Yeah, that's pretty... Like, I could understand, like, if you are chosen for the thing, but just submitting it...
Yeah,
that means you can't publish it anywhere else. That's pretty terrible. So.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then similarly, on a grander scale, Shonen Jump Plus is doing a reality show in a similar vein to like pick the next big manga creator, and and so that's a on a scale wise, that's a much bigger contest. You win a bunch of money and get deal options for deals and stuff. But then Netflix has already. Said they will stream whatever anime is made from the winner of that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. They're already putting their money down on this contest. So yeah, same fun. If you got some crazy good anime or light novel ideas you want to throw out there, I don't know.
Yeah, spend 3 months writing them and miss the contest deadline.
Yeah, completely forget what you were trying to do.
So if you've got something written already, basically is what we're saying.
I think there's some time. I mean, for this Shonen Jump reality show, there's no time. But for this, for the My Anime List one, I think the deadline's like September or something.
Oh, okay. I guess you got a few months.
Yeah, you got a bit of time if you want to just devote your life to that.
Do it.
Do it. But yeah, that's. I think that'll do it for news this episode.
All right. Then maybe we should talk about some animes that we've watched.
All right. I love it. Let's get into it.
I was going to say we should talk about some anime, but that's actually what we've been doing during the news as well. So
I know. For some reason, everything on this podcast is anime themed.
It's like anime.
Like, just adjacent. Anime adjacent. All right. Yeah, let's get into these new shows, shall we?
All right.
First on the list is a short. We're actually going to start with ONAs and shorts. Why not? Yeah. And to kick us off is a little show called Ore Tsushima, or I Tsushima.
Yeah. Ore being the word for, or one of the many words for I in Japanese. And not I in your face, but I as in, like me, boku, ore, watashi.
My hero.
all of those things. Anyway, this is like a minute and a half short. It's on YouTube. I think it might actually be broadcasting somewhere in Japan as well. But apparently they're releasing them all on YouTube, and it's got like proper English subtitles.
Yeah.
Which is nice because you don't often see that on YouTube for Japanese things that aren't picked up by anyone.
That's true, yeah. And I was hoping this would get picked up just because it looked weird and cute and potentially funny.
Yeah. So this is a story about Tsushima, the cat, and Oji-chan, an old woman. Oji meaning grandpa, by the way. So, yeah, this was just sort of an introduction to the characters. I was, I guess, a little bit confused about a couple of things. Like, apparently, Oji-chan can understand what Tsushima is saying.
Seems
because,
that way.
Because she says, oh, you can talk. Or, yeah, she says, sorry, she and he, I'm going to get mixed up because of Oji-chan.
Which is a joke that Tsushima makes.
At the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm at this point, I'm not sure if anyone else can understand what Tsushima is saying. And I'm also not sure if the old lady can understand what the other cats are saying.
Yeah, because she's a cat lady.
Yeah, she has at least a few other cats, at least two that we saw.
And she meets Tsushima because he's like in an alley digging through trash.
Digging through garbage.
And she, you know, is trying to, help him out.
Yeah, so she takes him back to her house and gives him some food. And then he wants more food. And I don't know. We don't really need to go too much into depth on it, I guess. But
yeah,
that's sort of the premise. Old lady and a cat.
Yeah, and it kind of play, you know, for cat owners, which we both are or have been, it plays into, you know, plays to that audience a little bit, I think, you know, where it's like, you know, how not unruly, but how stubborn and self-possessed cats can be, where they're, they just, you know, they'll just do whatever they want. And so, like, there's one point where she feeds Tsushima, and then she sits down to, you know, have this, like, nice, like, bento box for her dinner, and he, like, jumps up on the table and is like, mine. And that's, you know, it's just cute, funny gags like that, you know, cat owners specifically would care about, I imagine.
Yeah. I guess maybe it is a very cat owner-centric sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, the basic premise is, you know, cat, old lady, their interactions. There are some other cats. Don't really know if there's any major story going on. I assume not in a minute and a half, but
yeah,
you know,
they do this thing. I forget what the joke was, but
did you say doo-doo?
I say that every duty or doo-doo. Now they do this thing for one of the jokes where Tsushima makes the joke and then turns to the camera, and then they do a freeze frame, and then there's these dramatic horns. Which it's just like a nice little touch for this short. I gave this a 7 out of 10. I mean, it's only one episode, but it's literally like a minute and a half. And I watched it twice, and it's, you know, just based on that very little information, I enjoyed it. So it's pretty easy to watch. I don't know if we need to cover it every week, but it's a cute little cat centric short. What did you think?
It's mildly amusing, and I don't know, like, I give it a 5 of 10 because it's like, it's meh. I could live without it, but I'll probably still keep watching it. So
the length goes a long way. Like, we watched several episodes of Gloomy Bear, which was a short from last season. That's really, I already like Tsushima more than the Gloomy Bear.
It's 30 seconds longer. So, I mean, that's like 150%
runtime,
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, the Gloomy was very much just on like one gag per episode, whereas this has like three gags.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's true. All right. Well, we should move on in our O&As and shorts block. I think we're running long on our talk of Oritsushima.
I know. We need to keep it brief.
What's the next thing I was going to talk about?
So you watched a couple ONAs, I believe. The first one, Matate ne Koiking.
Ah, yes. So this is a Pokemon short. Koiking being the Japanese name for Magikarp.
Oh, yes. That was actually part in my news segment. But yeah, they did another Poketoons installment.
Yeah, and this one is languageless. Mm. So no need for subtitles or anything. It's all just music and seeing what the characters do and stuff. Mm. And it was cute and it was fun. I think it's about 6 or 10 minutes long, somewhere in that range. It was, I don't know, like I felt like there was like a moral to the story or something, but it didn't quite track for me. I don't know, but it was cute. That's about all I have to say about it. It's on YouTube. You can check it out if you want.
Well, I remember, I hope they do more of these, because I remember they did one like a couple years ago that was like a Poketoon, is what they call it. And it's almost like Looney Tunes style.
Yeah.
But they did one with Scraggy on like a train, and it was just bizarre and, I don't know, just funny like a Looney Tunes would be, but like a...
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been last year, but it might have been 2 years ago. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, time is a blur. Time,
yes.
But that sounds cute.
Lately, that's for sure.
I saved that news story, but I've yet to watch it, so I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's short enough. It's worth checking out from just, you know, artistic interest in anime, I think, is enough to want to look at it. The art style is very nice, like sort of a watercolor-esque design, I guess.
Okay.
Story-wise, yeah, not a whole lot to offer, but, you know, it's Pokemon. What do you really expect?
Yeah, and it's like trying to, like a Looney Tunes, you know.
It's not...
Imagine if we had a Looney Tunes podcast.
But it's definitely not anything like Looney Tunes. It's more like an art film.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But they call them just Poketoons, and they've done a whole bunch of different ones of them.
Yeah, they've had a lot of them, yeah. So I imagine there's like a different inspiration for each or something.
Probably a different artist and everything, yeah.
And then that brings us to the last section, or last show of this section, which is Black Alice.
Black Alice. Okay, yeah. So I just found out this existed. It is also on YouTube. You can find it. You might have to search with katakana to find it, rather than, I don't know. I didn't try searching for it with Romaji. But yeah, this is supposed to be like a shoujo horror sort of thing. The basic premise of it is there's this girl named Alice. She's got really pointy ears, so I think she might be an elf or something. Anyway, and people that are having problems will randomly encounter her, I guess, and she will help them, but there's always like a dark side to the help that she offers, or something like that.
Okay.
So in this episode, there's a girl who all of her other classmates are looking at pictures of each other and saying, "Oh, so cute." And the subtitles aren't great, by the way. I pretty much watch this without subtitles. Just watch it with Japanese and could understand them. "Oh, kawaii," you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Get the gist of it.
Got the gist of it. Yeah. So this girl, she seems to be jealous of her other classmates because she's got, you know, saggy eyes or whatever, you know, like dark circles under her eyes, and she's not considered one of the kawaii girls or whatever. Anyway, she's walking home and runs into Alice in a park, who then offers her this magical pencil, and she like erases the bags under her eyes on the picture, and then, you know, it gets rid of the bags under this girl's eyes, and then this girl goes on to use the pencil to basically physically deform all of her other classmates who are prettier than her, because she has to be the prettiest. And then eventually her pencil, you know, runs out, because as it would as you use it.
Yeah.
Things go badly for her.
Interesting. I like the idea of this. How's it look? Is it good looking short, or?
Like the art is fine. It's more of almost a motion comic. Like you've got almost still frames with mouth moving is the only like actual animation in most of the frames.
Storybook feel.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like the greatest animated thing. The art is fine. Like, I don't know. I would say actually passable, because the main character in this episode, depending on what angle we're looking at her from, she kind of looks like a different person every time. Mm. But you know that she's supposed to be the same person. So
okay.
So, you know, the art's a little...
Yeah, not the best.
You know, yeah.
And that's often the case with some of these ONAs, you know.
Yeah, but I liked the concept of it, and that's why I chose to watch it. And yeah, it'd be cool if it was like a proper adaptation. Mm. But
so, is it a like based on a manga or something? Did you say that?
I believe so. Okay. I believe it's based on a manga.
Cool. Yeah, that's interesting. I might check it out just to see what it looks like.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing to watch. Mm. You know, and yeah. Supposedly there's going to be more this season too. So I might check them out. I might not. I don't know. It just kind of depends on how I feel at the time. I think it's
okay.
It's just sort of a middle of the road, mediocre, like,
yeah,
you know, again, only like 6 minutes or something. So,
well, that will bring us out of the ONAs and shorts and into, some proper, TV animation, new this season. We got three new, first episodes. And first up is a little show called Peach Boy Riverside.
All right. So let's get right to the heart of this, George. Hentai tentacle scene for no reason out of nowhere.
I mean, I think there is a clear reason, but perhaps for the uninitiated, give an overview here. We said we weren't going to spoil most of the things, but we're going to have to talk about that scene.
Is that a spoiler, you think?
Well, I don't know. Okay, so actually, I have something. I have a news story that I held on to till we got to this episode, because it's very relevant. So according to, who is this? According to the director, he decided, he's adapting this manga, Peach Boy Riverside, and he decided to, in order to adapt it into anime form, he decided to mess up, you know, tell it in a different chronological order.
Hmm.
And so this episode...
So what you're saying is later we're going to get full-on hentai tentacle porn.
Well, we'll get to that. So this episode that we got, which is the first broadcast episode, is actually the second episode in chronological order. And then the fourth broadcast episode will be the first episode in chronological order.
Okay.
So for some reason, they're taking this strange approach to adapting the manga. And so I am...
So in this episode, we got introduced to Frau, the rabbit girl.
Yes.
So that might be a reason to...
Yeah,
and jump to this scene, I guess.
Well, and he talks about too how the other girl, whatever her name is, kind of the main girl with
Sally.
I get from what I read from the director, because there's some quotes on, if you want to, Anime News Network had an article about it, but he wanted to introduce Sally and Frau first as like the main characters instead of this whoever, I don't know his name, but there's some original peach swordsman person that we're eventually going to learn about, that Sally was talking about, that will be introduced. And so it kind of makes sense. And like, honestly, my favorite part. And so we're introduced to Sally, and we don't know what she's doing or why she's doing it, but she comes across Frau, which is this bunny girl.
Yeah.
And she is definitely my favorite part. And probably the only part I liked about this episode. Her character design is super adorable. She's really interesting. There's this whole aspect of I forget what they're called, but they're basically like these beast type people.
Demi-humans,
yes. That exist within this world. And there's a lot of prejudice towards them from humans.
Yeah.
And so I like that whole aspect of it and how it relates to Frau. If she was the main character, I would be much more interested in this. But Sally seems a little underwritten to me.
She's half of the main character, because the main character is the two of them, I presume.
I suppose if that's how it's going to be. But anyway, we're just introduced to them going on this quest, and then it turns into like Sally just feeds her a carrot, and then she is indebted to her and ends up saving her life several times. Mm-hmm. But then it turns out there's all this racism towards the demi-humans, and so Sally, you know, kind of wins her over in that regard. But it's like, oh, you actually were nice to me and help me out and whatnot. But yes, then this leads us to this scene. Because I don't know how you felt, but like we didn't get much characterization from the bad guys,
Sally,
from the
yeah.
good guys. Mm. Frau is the most interesting part to me.
Yeah.
But what did you think about before we got to this this scene that we will talk about?
I mean, yeah, we didn't get a lot of character depth on Sally, and I mean, the bad guys don't come until later.
Yeah, that's true. Which is about the time.
And
of
really,
this.
All we had to go on Sally at that point in time was that she had met Frau.
Yeah, yeah. They don't really.
We didn't
do anything.
Really know anything about her, and yeah. We didn't know anything about Frau either. And then,
yeah, and we still don't really know that much about.
Yeah, they're just sort of they're still building their stories and whatnot.
That's true.
And
fair enough.
Anyway, yeah, nothing. I don't know that there's anything else I need to say before we get to the part where they're walking down the street and someone's trying to sell an octopus to them, and Sally has some sort of flashback of hentai tentacle porn.
And there's this scene within 60 seconds of that taking place. Well, first of all, there when she has that flashback, it's the way I took it is she was haunted by some sort of tentacle rape. That was the I'm just saying what I saw.
No, and, that seemed to be the case.
And it was a very fast scene, but that one scene was the most information that I got about her character. And I took that to mean that that is a part of her backstory.
Other than the fact that she would, you know, help a demi-human in need, that she would then stand up for that demi-human against these oppressors in town. And, you know, there, you get a lot of other stuff about her character.
I suppose so. But it's like, I always have a hard time, especially in a first episode. I mean, some shows do it better than others, but this one just fell flat to me where they introduce the stakes and then immediately show you know, that payoff of we learn that the demi-humans are, you know, people are afraid of them and they're, you know, they want to kill them or they want to drive them out of their town. And she stands up for them.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's always more satisfying when like it's set up and then it pays off, but like just to do the setup and then the payoff, I just learned that. You know, before we even know what the heck Sally's up to, she's already saving this person that we also just met. I don't know. It gets a little jumbled for me where it's like, I don't know why I'm supposed to care. I mean, I know why, but it's not earned, you know? That's kind of an issue I had where it's like...
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
I'm like, okay. And there's another episode or another show we'll get to later on this week that did this but more effective, I thought. But yeah, I don't know. These bad guys are introduced and one of them is like a giant walrus type guy. He was in the trailer and visually he's interesting, but then no part of his interaction with his cohort, which turns out to be like some sort of, you know, magical lolly person. And then later his interaction with Sally and then fighting Frau, spoiling that a little bit, but I don't know. I was left empty. I don't know. But you seem to like this more than I did. What grabbed you?
I like Sally and Frau as characters generally. Like, not a lot. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I'm interested in seeing. I have no idea where this story is going. I'm interested in seeing where their story is going and maybe learning more about them and stuff. That's all. Like, okay.
You're intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's probably mostly Frau.
And I'm with you 100% on that. I forgot I derailed myself, but so we see Sally have this flashback of this tentacle scene in her head or whatnot, and then directly after that some little kid runs up to her and it's just like, oh wow, look at the knockers on her, and then her, for no reason, her boobs just bounce. Those two scenes happen within like 60 seconds of each other.
She's a large-breasted woman. Her breasts are going to bounce.
I guess when somebody talks about them, they're sentient.
Yeah, that's how it works, isn't it? I don't know. I've never been around breasts before.
I know. I've been doing it all wrong. You gotta call them out. Once you see them, it'll be like, those are the elephant in the room right there.
Yeah, and then they bounce for you.
There's nothing outside of that scene, of those two things that happen really quickly, quick succession. There's nothing else that's that egregious about it, but I just feel like this show is going to go that way of like, and especially with the walrus guy, he does this sort of edgy, you know, ultra violent, attack on someone. I won't spoil that, but it's just like, it just felt empty to me. Like, it's not like I like flashy violence and I like anime that, you know, has wild animation and there's crazy fights and stuff, but it's got to be set up in some way that it's not.
I thought the fight scene was well done because it was not too long.
Fair enough.
That's how I like my fight scenes.
Yeah, you like them short. We feel a little differently on that.
And the ending of that fight scene I thought was pretty cool and intriguing.
Mm.
Definitely intriguing for story-wise. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You'll have to watch the episode to see what I'm talking about there.
Yes.
But
don't spoil that.
But yeah, I gave this one of the highest scores of the week, which is a 6, which isn't really the very high score, but it's fine. It's fine for me so far. So I'm gonna continue on with this one and see how it goes.
Tony and I had a conversation about, because we both think it's more fun when we can both talk about a show, you know, when we're covering, if we're covering it in a given week. If only one of us is talking about it, it's not as fun. And so we talk, but you know, we don't want to watch all the shows that the other is watching, but we talked about this season doing like a trade-off, at least by the third or fourth episode being like, hey, you catch up on this show and I'll watch this other one that you're watching.
Yeah.
And so this,
like last season, it probably would have been Spider and Megalobox, right?
Yeah.
Although you would have had way more to catch up on Spider.
That's true. That's true. And you would have had a bit to catch up on, I mean, it did happen with those Snow White notes. I was watching that, and then you caught up, and then you dropped it. Which, fair enough. I mean, if you want to drop it later on.
I stuck there for most of it.
Oh, yeah. No, you totally
did. I was there till like episode 10 or 11 or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't disparaging you for that or anything, but...
Why are you disparaging me for that?
It's like that thing where, like, not to be racist, but I'm about to be very racist.
Not to be racist, but
no, don't
people of races are problematic.
Just do the Bill Burr thing. Like, there are a lot of Asians in this restaurant. That's not racist. All right. I gave this a 4 out of 10 in the spirit of that. I was really turned off by the tentacle porn because if it would have just been a gag, it would have been one thing.
Mm.
But I got the sense that it is a part of her character, part of her past, and it's important. Yeah. It's canon. And it rubbed me the wrong way. And then the villains I was just unimpressed by. But that being said, it sounds like this will be a contender for our...
I mean, they weren't villains. They were just bad guys.
Yeah, I suppose, but...
I would say that there's a difference in characterization between those two things. I didn't expect these to be like the big, bad...
Yeah.
You know, they're just... some rogues that show up and cause problems for our main characters.
But. Well, that walrus guy, since we saw him in the trailer, I was expecting him to be of some importance.
More of a major part of it.
Yeah, or be built up in some way.
Maybe he is. Maybe he ends up joining them.
Maybe.
But you'll never know.
Or maybe I will. That's what I'm saying. This sounds like I'll be a contender. We figured we'd let the other first episodes, debut before we make our trade.
Yeah. We're probably going to go until like episode 3 or something before we really
give it a good run. Because I mean, 3 episodes into this,
one way
or another, you're going to know.
At this point, there's no show that I'm going to recommend to anyone. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't recommend this show to anyone particularly. If it sounds interesting to you, maybe check it out. But I can't say I recommend it at this point. So yeah, wait till I get to the point where I would say you should watch this because it's good.
Yeah, this is preliminary. I do have a couple shows this season that I would recommend just based on the first episode, but yeah.
I have nothing that has qualified for the level of good, which is what, like, 7 is good for me, right?
Yes, yeah. And I got a few 7s
in here.
There's
no 7s
for
me.
Yeah, you have none. Which, fair enough. All right, well, in the spirit of that, let's continue this this train of...
In the spirit of this podcast is more interesting when both of us are talking about something.
Yes.
What's up next, George?
We have a little show called Scarlet Nexus.
Ah, yes.
Which,
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it had an early debut on YouTube, on Funimation's YouTube channel, which also Sunny Boy did, and we both missed that. But we did see Scarlet Nexus.
We did.
And we watched it together, in fact.
We did. And I didn't take any notes about it, so I have... nothing other than my basic feeling recollection about it. Do you have a synopsis or summary?
Yeah, I didn't really write a synopsis, but it's essentially about this main character who has his dad or his family lineage is well known. They're like almost celebrities in like a military sense. Mm. And there's this whole organization that fights these crazy beings that show up, and he and his buddy have joined that, and they're new recruits, and so they start you know, start their first mission. They get inducted into the, I forget what it's called, the J blah 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 something, you know, criminal fighting organization or monster fighting or, and then right as they're
there was some acronym. Right?
Yeah, which I did not write down.
Because it wasn't an initialism. They pronounced it like a word.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. All right, continue.
But I did write down the enemies they're fighting are called the Others. Very original.
The Others.
And one thing I did like is the designs of the Others were kind of cool. Like there was a lot of lampshades and like flower bouquets and they're sort of these just weird like trash can amalgams of monsters that didn't really make sense but were fun, like fun design.
Yeah, interesting, creative. Yeah.
Yeah, they stood out. My main issue with it is just middling. Like I didn't care about the main character. He seemed kind of boring. And the enemy attacks were very convenient, you know, it's like one of those things of like, "Oh, we just joined and we just, you know, became part of this battalion or whatever." And like, "Oh my god, there's an attack happening right now." And it's just like, "Okay, like yeah. Very convenient first episode plot." And yeah, just kind of failed to engage me, unfortunately.
Yeah, so my impression of this is that this is a show based on a video game, which, you know, those usually are not very good, and this fits that bill. The art was middling. I guess it was fine. The 3D CG, not great.
Yeah.
The story was mostly uninteresting, and... yeah, I couldn't be bothered to care about anything that was happening or any of the people that were in it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you did, but I didn't realize it was based on a game when we first watched it.
I did not at the time.
Oh, okay, yeah. But then it's like once I learned that after the fact, it was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. You just get that sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I think based on that, it's not an inspired story. Like it's just not, I mean, based on one episode, I mean,
right,
yeah. Who knows, but you gotta give me something to work
with. Maybe it's a great game. What was the one from last season that is a really great game that someone told us in
The World Ends With You
that they then deleted?
Yeah, The World Ends With You.
Apparently it's a great game, not a great anime though.
Yeah. And that person agreed with that sentiment.
Yeah.
But
then he deleted his comment, so none of you can see that. But, or he or she, I should say.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. It was the first, like, long, winding ramble we got.
It was a good long one. And we both enjoyed reading it very much. So if you are listening, then, you know, feel free to leave another comment like that and don't delete it because we enjoyed reading it. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you.
I mean,
and if you are not that person and you have a long rambling comment that you would like to leave, not necessarily rambling.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't say that there was a rambling. It was long.
Just long-winded, yeah.
Yeah, it was long. It was very in-depth discussion of this person's position on this game, mostly about the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting off track. This is based on a video game, and it's not very good. Much like The World Ends With You. Maybe a great game, not a great anime. This
is hard
maybe
to
a
do.
Great game, not a great anime.
Yeah, like I wonder how many anime based on games are that good, like just in general.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to D-Side Troimerai. Troimerai? Troimerai.
Because you're such a huge fan of the game.
The game hasn't even come out yet, as far as I know. Game's not coming out till like September or something.
Maybe that's a good sign, like the anime comes out first.
So maybe, yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, so that wraps us up on Scarlet Nexus and brings us to our final, not our final show we're covering, but our final new show. We're going to get into to a show Tony is wrapping up from last season that got delayed. But lastly, we have the case study of Vanitas.
Yes, I'm interested to hear about this because it looked somewhat intriguing, like it looks well designed and like there's probably actually good story behind it and stuff, but yeah, you tell me about it.
Yeah, so Vanitas is based on a manga, and we got a comment on this one on our video we did, just, you know, on the shows we're gonna watch,
what we're watching. Yeah
And that person was getting pretty excited, and I can kind of see why. This episode didn't blow me away, but it gave me enough that I'm going to stick with it for now. But we open with a storybook presented backstory that explains who Vanitas is. And Vanitas is vampires. Vampires exist in this world.
Yeah.
And Vanitas was supposedly born under a blue moon rather than a crimson one. And so he stands out among the rest. But in the storybook, he brings death to other vampires. He is basically on a revenge quest because he was outcast by them because he was different.
Oh.
And so he is out to destroy them. But then after this, like, kind of storybook, it literally is, like, you know, in the very beginning, you get this whole storybook, and it's very cute in the way it's presented. You know, it has that sort of gothic aesthetic, but it's, like, crudely drawn, like almost like a child would do. But it's nice. It's a nice presentation of what's going on, and it establishes what I just said. But then in his pursuit, Vanitas has this book that he uses, has some sort of magical properties or whatnot. But anyway, then we get into our current era where we're at. And from what I could gather, it's like there's airships and the whole aesthetic of the world they live in is really cool. Like, it's got that gothic style, but it's romantic, you know. Everything about it is kind of, which, you know, vampires usually are. But but it's really capturing that for me. But then it seems like vampires are, like, the current state of them in this world is they've assimilated. And they're hidden, but they want to be that way. Like, they don't want to stand out. But then there's some sort of, and I don't know how it pertains to this crimson moon, blue moon thing, but there's certain vampires that get overtaken with this malevolent being or presence. I'm not really sure what it is. And so I don't know if he's our main character. He's an unnamed character who wears like a top hat, and he's on this dirigible. And he comes across this lady, you know, a very fair lady. And at first you're thinking, like, okay, you're thinking this guy, we, you know, is unnamed, is the vampire. And she keeps making these comments of, like, when he's around her, like, she's feeling hot and, like, you know, this weird presence. But then we find out that she's a vampire. Actually, they both are. But she is also a vampire, and she's being overtaken by this evil presence. Yeah. And then this is when Vanitas shows up, but he's not the original Vanitas. He's taken on this name. It's been handed down generations. And it turns out he's not a vampire. He's a human, but he is on a quest to not to destroy the vampires, but to kind of keep them in check, you know, kind of keep them from being disruptive and, you know, murdering other people. Yeah. But then also, you know, doing it with some sense of nobility. But anyway, overall, I liked it. It has this, like, overly dramatic flair to it that might put some people off. And I could understand, like, I get the idea that a lot of ladies like this show because it has that romantic, overdramatic sense about it or sensibility about it. But I was into it. The characters themselves, the Vanitas, I was into him. He seems pretty fun. But there's some moments of, like, try to do, like, the chibi, you know, cut to, like, a chibi version of, like, some, you know, silly scene. And it wasn't totally, like, grabbing me, but overall, I don't know. It seems fine. I'll stick with it and see how it plays out. But that's essentially the premise of it.
Okay. Yeah, I have nothing to say in response to that.
Yeah. This one's, like, it's in the category for me of, like, I'm going to give it the 3 episodes, essentially. I'm going to give it that classic run to wow me, to sink its teeth into me.
How was the animation? Was it all CG stuff or 3D stuff, I mean?
They do a little bit of 3D CG, but it looks pretty nice. Like, it's all well blended. And, like, when they show the airship that they're in, because at first when we start there, we're just seeing from the inside. But then they show, like, a shot from outside, and it looks good. Like, it looks nice. Like, I like I think what saves it is a lot of the color aesthetics and the dark shadows, you know, kind of hides a lot, you know, just cloaks a lot of that animation, some of the 3D CG stuff.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that the visual aesthetic of, like, the scene and setting combined with the overly dramatic characters worked for me. It had some sort of synergy that was, you know, plays into the vampire thing nicely.
Okay. Yeah, when you started talking about vampires, I was reminded of Mars Red from last season.
Oh, but, yeah.
It sounds like a very different show. But
yeah, that show, I mean, you watched a little bit of it, and so I didn't see any, but yeah, it seemed like an overly serious show.
Yeah.
Where this one, by contrast, yeah, is like, has a serious element, but it's also having fun too. So it's kind of.
But it's not a comedy per se.
No, no.
But it has comedic elements.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah. So it's got some levity to the, you know, because it's so overly dramatic, I think it helps to have like a little bit of, you know, just silliness.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
So stay tuned. I'll let you know what I think of that. And lastly, in this episode, Tony's going to tell us about the finale, the much anticipated, delayed finale of So I'm a Spider, So What?
Yeah. So this should have been out last week, but they had some production delays because of, I don't know exactly what. They had been having some problems with the quality of their animation for the last couple episodes. And apparently they wanted to sort of end things on the right foot and spend a little more time on this one to make it look right. And I have to say that they did a good job in that regard. Like, it all looked really good.
Oh, nice. The pressure was on, definitely, since it was delayed.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that they only delayed it a week made me worried that they weren't going to improve it that much, that there were other problems that had caught up with them, but no. All right. So in this episode, we finally see the resolution of Kumiko's battle with Ariel, the demon lord. Ariel had used, I think it was heretic magic, that is basically the only thing that can kill someone that has the immortality skill, which we know that Kumiko has,
yeah.
Right? But at the last second, Kumiko transferred herself, her consciousness, whatever you want to call it, into one of the eggs that she had laid. Apparently she laid some eggs at some time that we didn't see. So after killing Mother, she had gained Mother's egg laying skill, which allowed her to lay eggs. So she laid a whole bunch of eggs and she manages to save herself by transferring herself to one of the spiders in the eggs. So then she hatches as a baby spider, but because she retains all of the XP and stuff that she gained from this battle with Ariel and killing all the human soldiers and stuff like that, she immediately is able to level up, and then she gets to also evolve at that point, because she's leveled up enough, into her next form, which is the Arachna form. Which is basically just a giant spider with a human torso growing out of its back.
Ooh.
Yeah. Seems kind of weird. So she looks
disturbing.
Basically, so like when we're not seeing the sort of chibi version of Kumiko, when we see the actual version, she's like this giant, scary looking spider. And that's what we see, except now she has this human torso and, you know, arms and head and everything growing out of her back.
Okay.
And then we're going to cut to Shun and Sophia battle, because why not, right? That's the part everyone's interested in. Anyway, so Potimus, the elf king or whatever, has sent his sort of robot tank army or whatever to quell the battle. Or some sort of android robot tank things or something. Anyway, they all get wiped out by Sophia in a matter of seconds, because Sophia is pretty powerful. And then while we're doing some sort of conversation between Sophia and the other reincarnations about being reincarnations and stuff like that, Hugo sort of sneaks up behind her and then launches his sneak attack on her. And then the lady in white shows up, who we saw at the end of last episode, episode 23. We saw her show up for the first time. And she shows up and protects Sophia, and Sophia's a little bit annoyed about it, but she's like, whatever. And then, you know, Hugo gets, you know, knocked down or something. I don't know. He gets dismissed pretty quickly, because the lady in white is quite powerful, it seems. But then when she shows up, all of the other reincarnations, Shun and the others, see her and recognize her as one of their former classmates, named Wakaba. So the human form of the lady in white that we see looks like this former classmate, Wakaba. And then we're going to cut back to Kumiko. So Kumiko uses her telepathy after this. After she levels up and everything, she's like in this cave where all of her baby spiders have been born. And she decides to use her telepathy to sort of check in on Sophia, baby bloodsucker Sophia. And she sees that there are elves sneaking into the house because all of the troops that would normally be protecting the house are off fighting the battle against Oates, who is attacking their kingdom at the moment. And Sophia's father basically recognizes the danger and sort of says, you know, hands his daughter over to one of their trusted servants, whose name is Marizophis, and tells him to take her and escape, basically. Like her father basically says that he can't leave because he's like the, you know, the ruler of that region. So he has to stay there regardless of anything. Hmm. Anyway, they don't make it out of the mansion before they are, surrounded by elves. And ultimately, Sophia ends up, biting Mesophora. Marizophis. It's a tough name. She ends up biting him and turning him into a vampire to sort of up his skill level so that he's able to defeat all of these elves. And then just as he does, who should show up but Podimus himself, the elf king, right?
Okay.
And so, you know, they fight a little bit and Podimus kicks his butt a little bit. And then when it looks like both Marizophis and Sophia are going to die at the hands of Podimus, Kumiko teleports in to rescue them because she cares about this baby bloodsucker so much for some reason.
And she could have done it sooner before they were within an inch of her life.
No, I mean, theoretically maybe, but it takes her a while to, you know, initiate the spell to be able to teleport and everything. So there's like,
it's not an instantaneous
thing. You could say like, it makes sense, I guess. Given if this battle all occurred over the course of like a minute or something, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, she teleports in and then her and Podimus battle and, Podimus gets a bit of an upper. I keep saying Podimus. Sounds weird when I say Podimus. It sounds like I'm saying potty.
Podimist.
Podimus. Her and, Podimus battle and, he's sort of, you know, he's sort of got the upper hand and is kicking butt, but she's also doing damage. And it eventually is revealed that he's actually like a freaking Terminator cyborg version of Podimus. It's like some Terminator cyborg thing that Podimus has created and transferred his consciousness into.
So it's not even the real him.
It's not even the real him. And then just as it looks like Kumiko is about to lose to Podimus, I mean, there's so many just of it looks like about in this episode, but who should show up? But Demon Lord Ariel shows up and saves Kumiko, which is weird. And then her and Kumiko have a chat and she's like, yeah, I think we should declare a truce because, you know, I used that heretic magic against you and it didn't kill you. So obviously there's nothing I can do to kill you. So I think we should just call it a truce.
If you can't beat him, join him. Is that
and sort of. And further into this conversation, it comes out that really what Ariel wants is to destroy Podimus because he is the sort of the ultimate bad guy in this world, apparently.
Okay.
Because he is essentially the one that's going to bring about the end of this world. And so anyway, yes, everyone's saved. The cyborg is destroyed by Demon Lord Ariel.
And now they're set up to, in the future, go after Podimus or whatever together.
Yes, and that does come up at the end of this episode. Like they're, so Demon Lord Ariel, you know, tells Kumiko, like, you should totally join me and help me destroy Podimus because he's the bad guy. And Kumiko's like, yeah, I'll think about it, basically. And Ariel also offers Marizophis and Sophia, basically offers to let them come to the demon realm or the monster realm or whatever it's called with her, where they'll be safe because they're both vampires now and vampires are sort of frowned upon in the human world, apparently. And so, yeah, Sophia and Marizophis and Ariel and Kumiko. I forgot to mention this. It actually says that in my notes.
I forgot to mention this.
It literally says that because I did forget to mention it in my notes.
Well, now you remembered to not forget.
I remembered to remind myself to remember to remind myself. Anyway, so the thing, when Kumiko first teleports in, Sophia sees her and recognizes the human portion of her as her former classmate, Wakaba.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So this is tying together the two different...
So Kumiko is the lady in white.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Okay. So it's tying together the timelines in a recognizable way.
So Kumiko has made an appearance in the future timeline then.
Yes. And I think I speculated that at the end of episode 23 when the lady in white shows up. I'm like, we don't know anything about her, but like I think this might be Kumiko because I said Kumiko doesn't show up in this episode unless you... count like at the very end where the lady in white shows up, who might be Kumiko.
Yeah,
and now this is sort of proving me right, which I always love, of course. That's why I mention it. Anyway, whoop, so yeah, so she recognizes her as Wakaba. Anyway, so Sophia and Marizophis. I always have to take a second before I say that name because I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. And Ariel and Kumiko are basically just off to the Demon Kingdom, walking off into the sunset, as it were. And that's pretty much where this episode concludes.
Which concludes the second season of Spider.
Yeah, well, the second core, I guess you would call it, because it was one continuous season, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then Ariel and the rest of them are all just walking off into the sunset, and all is good, I guess, in the world. And what we're going to see next is, I mean, assuming that this gets more of an adaptation, I assume it is going to. What we're going to see next is, the joining of forces of Ariel and Kumiko. I don't know that we'll see much from Sophia right now because she's a baby. But, you know, maybe we'll skip a few years and instead of this 15-year gap, we'll end up with like a 5-year gap or something like that. Mm. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's really coming with the whole Shun thing other than they all seem to have been clued in that Podimus is actually a bad guy and that Sensei, being the daughter of Podimus, has sort of been brainwashed by him and she's essentially a bad guy too, even though her intentions are good. But she drank the Kool-Aid. She fully believes in this whole elf thing. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes on the Shun side, which is not something I ever thought I would say about this show.
Well, eventually it's going to have to catch up to it, right?
I mean, eventually. I'm not sure that it's even happened in the light novel yet. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're probably still maintaining that separation in timeline. But, you know, like I say, there might be a little bit of a time jump where, you know, Ariel and Kumiko go off and make friends and train and do things. And then there's like the next big battle is the next time we'll see them. I don't know. I really don't know what is next for this show, but I very much look forward to it.
Okay. Has your rating or perception or interest in the show changed in the last 12 episodes, or do you still you feel as into it as you were, more or less? Or,
I think this was a fairly good ending for this arc in, you know, making me want to watch more of it. It's been a pretty solid 7 for quite a while for me. It's never quite made it to 8. I don't know that I could call this show great, which rhymes with 8. It's a very, very good show, but I don't know that great is quite right.
Okay. But hey, I mean, looking forward to the next season. I mean, that's
I mean, the fact that I'm looking forward to any of the human stuff is like that's the real big question. Like, I think I know what's next for Kumiko and stuff, right? Like, I know where that's going, I think. But the human stuff I don't know, and that's sort of more interesting now, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's a big shift from what I've been hearing from you 12 episodes ago.
Oh yeah. I mean, even more recently than that, when it was the big 2-episode battle where Kumiko didn't appear, unless you count the Lady at White at the end of the second of those episodes. I'm more interested in the Kumiko story, but I sort of know where it's going. Not that I don't want to see it, but I sort of know where it's going. So whatever.
Cool.
long-winded way to say, you know, 7 of 10 for this episode and for the show overall.
Do you have anything else to add on Spider?
Nope.
Okay. Well,
is that it?
That's it. We did it, man.
We did it.
We freaking did it.
High five.
Woohoo.
Oh, you actually leaned all the way over. Good job.
Won't leave a bro hanging.
I figured we were going to do an air five because you were far enough away, but well done. Yeah, so that does it for episode 1 of season 2. Woohoo! We did it.
That's right. The spider is done for now. We concluded that. That's a big thing.
Spider is done, yeah. And I think next episode we have another something else concluding, right?
Yeah, Shadow's House. Got the final episode of that to weigh in on.
Yep, and a whole bunch of new episodes to talk about as well. If you're watching any of these new shows, things that we haven't covered or things that we are covering, if your opinion is the same as ours, if it's different than ours, whatever, get at us on like the social media things, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We have YouTube videos of all of our podcasts, and you can leave comments on them, whatever you want to do. You can find us at UmlikeAnime. That's UmlikeAnime. We also have our website, umlikeanime.com. I'm not going to spell it again. I already spelled it for you once. It's that, but .com on the end. And we've got a Patreon if you want to contribute. Hopefully there's more people jumping on at this point. New people coming in because it's a new season,
new
right?
Season. It's exciting.
New things to look forward to. So
let us know what you're watching, too. I want to know, even if we're not covering it.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to know.
Yeah, it's always like I think I picked up one show last season because someone left a comment about it and I was like, huh.
I don't remember either. Could be.
But it's been so long ago. It's been 3 months.
It's very likely. Like I think some, you know, podcasts or YouTube channels, they get, you know, once you start getting a bunch of comments, it's like you're inundated, but we're fresh. Right. You know, if you want to shout out your opinion, like we will hear it and we will respond to it.
Yeah. You want to leave us a comment on YouTube, you will be one of at most 2 comments on the video. So you will definitely get read, even up to the point that there's like 20 comments on a video. I think we're reading all of them at this point.
Yeah. And imagine if we want a community, we want people to, you know, that's what we're hoping for. And so, yeah, even if we do have that, like I can imagine us still, you know, keeping that engagement going.
Yeah. Once it gets beyond 20, it gets a little hairy maybe. Once it gets beyond 100 comments per video.
Yeah.
That's where it starts to get difficult. But right now, yeah, we are able to respond to every single person. We will like your comment. We will heart your comment. we will respond to your comment.
We love you.
Yeah. Cause really, yeah. Hearing about, like, we created this show because we like to talk about anime with each other and also with other people, but you know, hearing what other people think outside of the two of us is like even better than just the two of us talking about what we think about anime, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
So leave us those comments. And if you want to give us money, you can go to Patreon. If you want to buy merch, we don't make any money off of it, but we got some cool new beer glasses today that we're drinking out of that I'm quite happy about. And George is playing with his microphone and making noise.
Sorry.
But I'm going to wrap it up now and say good night, George.
Good night, Tony and world.